what he does for them changes the dynamic, you know, on how you attack that team. So if you take Le'Veon Bell away, now you say, now I'm going to force the running game to beat me because I'm going to sit on Antonio Brown. I'm going to not let you get these guys going, right? You can't do that when you have Le'Veon Bell in the backfield. So he is the key to opening up all the other pieces that's on the board.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. I hope all's well wherever you are. Happy 4th of July, Independence Day, red, white, and blue, all that. Things in Studio 66 are ready to roll as pro football season's kickoff draws ever closer. There you just heard number 36, Hall of Famer from the Black and Gold, which I guess if he's a Hall of Famer, he's a Black and Gold and Gold guy. Jerome Bettis weighing in on another Steelers great at running back, number 26, Le'Veon Bell. We'll see what goes down there as training camp draws closer for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the other 31 teams in the NFL. It's almost here. This, by the end of this very month in which we now sit, all those teams, your favorite one and your least favorite one, will all be toiling, sweating it up. I don't know where. Some weird place. These places, I don't understand the premise of going to the hottest.
Hofstra, Bourbon A.
But, like, the I know New Orleans, the Saints are smart enough. They go up to West Virginia where it gets plenty steam.
Oh, right. Well, they used to go to Metairie, and now, you're right, they now go up to the Greenbrier, I think, was something that Sean Payton brought to them.
That would be the worst, right? You wouldn't want to do that, or would it be worse, in fact, to have to then go, like, if you're the Cardinals? Although it's so much different than it used to. Like, they're in the desert, but it's so much different than it used to be because a lot of teams now just stay home. They don't even leave town.
Yeah, they stay indoors in Arizona. They're not. I think so. Yeah, that's 100. You're talking 110, 115 degrees. I would assume the majority of their stuff is done indoors. But that's as someone, you lived in Chicago for a while, so you know what summers are like. And I always say to people, yeah, hey, winters are terrible. And there's a reason why I've been in LA for 27 years, and I have zero interest in moving back there. But the oppressive summers, you get into the late July to mid August, mid July to mid August. It forces you to get on your knees and look to the sky and say, dear God, aren't the winters bad enough
well,
in this part of the world
the that double you have to whammy, do this to us? Right, because it's as though the people who made the city, and I know that the city was erected the majority of it after the cow knocked over the whatever the
Miss Bessie's lamp. Cow, yeah, knocked over,
and
burnt it down. They rebuilt it. Bring architects.
The city of Chicago.
Yeah,
they built
Turn
it
the
back up,
there.
And that was 150 years ago. But now they didn't install air conditioning into most of the places there. That's what kills you,
right?
Because Chicago is not perceived to be standardly in Los Angeles. Everybody has AC, pretty much, right? Or am I living?
Well, no, not on the coast. You don't because you get the ocean.
Oh, right, right.
So the ocean, you get the breeze. But if you're in a valley, yes.
Everybody has AC. That's
it's an irrigated desert. So you know that's what the valley is. I mean, unless you're on the water, the majority of Los Angeles, the greater Los Angeles area, is just irrigated desert.
But
that
you
is
talk
what we
about
are.
You talk about narratives and such, and
yes.
And how to. If it made yes, the summers are in fact they're demonstrably worse than they are in Los Angeles,
yes.
And yet everybody has AC here,
right.
And not in Chicago because I guess the people just bought the thing when like well we don't need it because it snows
cold,
here
yeah,
right we don't need
cold.
The AC anyhow you hear his voice there he is a son of Chicago but a transplant for. Like 3 decades now.
Isn't that crazy?
Or something. He's also the voice of your Los Angeles Chargers. He is one half of the greatest radio show in all the land, Petros and Money, on AM 570 here in Los Angeles. I'm sure they're going to be buzzing about NBA basketball for the next couple of weeks here. And also you can track down the greatest radio show in all the land. If you go to iHeartRadio, it's Petros and Money once again. Here he is, everybody. It's Matt Money Smith.
Skinny legs, a golden voice, a play-by-play analyst. Matt Money Smith, got bad eyesight, he's a Chicago guy.
Anyway, yeah, let's cut that out. You know what?
Just get the skinny legs. A
sincere shout out, best to our pal Dick Banks, whose family's going through some stuff there. That's his voice right there, and another son of Illinois. Best to him and the rest of the family.
Yeah, he's
there.
A champ.
Yeah, he's
absolute champ.
What a sweetheart. Anyway, Money, back from vacation. Where'd you go? Your pictures. Anybody who follows Money at Matt Money Smith on Twitter or Instagram and otherwise. It was a good quiz.
Yeah. Where am I?
Yeah, it was a tough quiz. I didn't know where you were going. Did I say already where he was?
Not yet.
Okay. There's a photo of him out on a boat.
The Flying Wasp. I am captaining a ship where there are kids in the front there, a little ski boat action.
Okay.
On a lake. So there's
So it's a lake. Then there's an image of you on what appears to be a really nice golf course that, and you're shooting it. It's not sawgrass, but you're firing on a par three on
an island
green.
The only movable island green in the world. It can move locations.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. So
That's cool.
I was 176 on a day where there was a two-club wind going into it. Posted a video of my five-iron swing there.
Yeah, and?
It worked out. I landed on the green and three-putted for bogey. but hey, at least I made it on it. So I only posted the swing, not the putts.
For lazy people like me, do you hit the ball to the green and then the green moves over to you and picks you up and then takes you back out kind of deal?
They have a Duffy. So you hop in on the boat.
What's a Duffy?
A Duffy's like those electric boats that you see the old people in all the time, just kind of buzzing around the bays and stuff. So you hop in one of those.
I want to play that course just for that.
It's great. It's the only reason we did it. It was, it's a little bit pricey. It's one of the Golf Digest top 100 spots. So it's like, we're playing the freaking movable floating green.
So I didn't observe. I wasn't clear-eyed enough to divine that you were on a lake. I just figured on a body of water out at sea somewhere. I was thinking Bermuda or something like that. Then you post a picture of you chopping wood.
Yeah, the wife snuck up on me while I was chopping the wood.
Lumberjack.
She caught me, thankfully, right after I had nearly cut my foot off trying to chop wood. So I swung and missed on a swing literally right before that. And she came out and snapped it right at the end of me splitting that piece perfectly.
I'm bummed out, by the way, as a side note, that you didn't see fit while you were out there. You had the axe and everything else. You didn't just take off a finger because you and Handsome Hank are both well on your way to losing a finger.
This whole Tampa Bay thing is just that.
In our quarterback finger.
You're not that kind of guy. You're not that kind of guy, Shaq.
Lamar Jackson? Here's how.
If Lamar happens, that's fine. But you're not taking Tampa.
Money and I,
you're not taking Tampa.
Me, I said that by the start of this year, there will be 10 new starters in the NFL from last year. And Money and Handsome balked at that, so we bet digits. Not money. We just bet even more important, like the Handmaid's Tale or something. We bet digits. That's the price you're going to pay. And we're right around 8-ish right now.
We're at 8.
But now,
Shaq is trying to claim Jameis. You're trying to claim Tampa. You can't do that. It's a suspension. This person that's starting is not taking over the starting job.
The point is,
Ryan Fitzpatrick is filling in.
And the point is, things happen. And speaking of which, someone is going to. It's not going to work out with a quarterback in one of these camps coming up.
If any
Somebody's
of them
get
hurt. No, hurt does not count.
Then Joe Flacco, they're going to say, you know what? Let's start the Lamar Jackson a little
That's
earlier
fine.
Than we expected.
You win that, you're good.
Let's deal Joe Flacco to this spot. That's one new starter.
That's
and
fine.
Lamar Jackson makes makes another new starter.
That's fine. But you're not taking Tampa. I know you're not that kind of guy. You wouldn't do that. You recognize that that's not a starter. That's somebody that Ryan Fitzpatrick is filling in.
It's already done. So, all right, let's talk about, though, because I really do feel that it's serendipitous that we have Matt Money Smith, who is obviously, like I already mentioned, deeply knowledgeable about the pro game of football, specifically the AFC West, which is one of many divisions that really just right now, as you look at it, is fascinating to try and figure out. Maybe that, you know, what's Mahomes going to do in KC, and can Phil Rivers play at the level he's played at for the last, let's say, 6 years or so with his most loaded team in probably a decade, but then the Raiders, are Gruden and company going to be able to bounce back? And then there's, I don't know
Case
what to
Keenum
make of Case Keenum and that mighty defense in Denver, or if that defense even still counts as mighty. But anyway, but what people are talking about right now in the world of sports and beyond, NBA basketball.
LeBron James.
Let's
LA.
Kibitz about it,
sure.
Monty. What's your range of emotions over the last, say, 4 days or so? All the rumors, free agency starts in the NBA. LeBron may be going here. He might stay in Cleveland. Some other rumors, maybe the Sixers. He lands with the Lakers. How say you?
Well, it's probably one of two paths, right? One, it's the swan song. It's his retirement. And for all of the chatter of, again, you, as you detailed, someone who's lived here for nearly 30 years, the chatter of you have to win championships in L.A. to be relevant. The people here have too many distractions. They don't care. That applies to the Chargers, to the Rams, to the Kings, to the Angels. It does not apply to the Lakers or the Dodgers. The Dodgers lead the league in attendance year in and year out. They draw nearly 4 million people. They have not won a World Series since 1988. The Lakers have been one of the worst teams in basketball for the last half decade, and yet Staples Center is sold out. Jack Nicholson's still there. Jack Black is still on the other side. There's all the celebrities surrounding that court.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Nicholson's attendance didn't drop off in the last
Maybe a tiny bit, but they were there to watch the Kobe spectacle, even though those teams stunk. They were there for his, you know, last hurrah. And I hope that's not what this is, you know, that LeBron is what we believe he is, and that's an outlier that is built and wired like no one we have ever seen, and he will be at his peak for these next 4 years, and we'll be able to restore glory to one of the all-time great iconic franchises.
Before we jump in on then the response by the counter by the reigning world champions up in the Bay Area, what do you think of LeBron with coming to the Lakers and what this means? Because you really did. You were prescient about a month ago. If LeBron comes to the Lakers, what does this do to Kobe's legacy?
Yeah, and I know he's putting a brave face on it, and he was on with your favorite guy, Stephen A. Smith, the other day, and was saying how excited he was. And I do think because of what Jeannie did for Kobe, he probably does genuinely feel happy for her. I mean, this is a big victory for Jeannie Buss, who fired her brother, fired Jerry West's protege, Mitch Kupchak, in order to get Magic and Robin there, and they land LeBron. So, you know, big congratulations to Jeannie, and I think Kobe's happy for her. I mean, my God, she gave him something like $300 million in salaries and kept him in L.A. instead of trading him away when she probably should have. But beyond that, yeah, I think he's probably a little worried that a lot of those 24s are going to go down to number 23s because, you know, anyone that's ever seen LeBron in person, it's something to watch. He's just one of those players, you know, that when you see them in person, you're like, oh my God, this is a different deal. It's kind of how Derrick Rose was when he first got in the league, and he was so much faster than everybody else. LeBron is so much bigger, faster, stronger, that I think all those Laker fans that have been celebrating Kobe for so many years as, oh, he's always slighted, and he's just as good as Michael Jordan was, if not better, and he's in the conversation for the greatest ever, they're going to realize quickly he's not that. I can tell you what Kobe – I don't know what Kobe is, but I can tell you what he's not. That, when you point at LeBron James, because that looks unlike anything you've ever seen.
Well, he definitely makes the Lakers more relevant than they've been in the last half
decade.
But on the other hand, back to your original point, and I get that they're kind of more bulletproof than, say, the Los Angeles Kings or whomever you want to compare them to. But for Kobe v. LeBron, this now – gives it, for the literalists in the world, a side-by-side comp. And LeBron, if he wins a title in Los Angeles, he will – I mean, to me, he's well past
way
Kobe
past
anyway.
It's a great point, though, because, you know, when you look – I actually did it this morning. I went back and I looked at those, even though I was working for the team at the time. I kind of forgot how bad those teams were that they won championships with. It's hard to believe that, you know, the Lakers – the Kobe Bryant-led Lakers in that won titles in 2009 and 2010 against the Magic and
and
the Celtics.
The post-Shaq Lakers?
Your starting backcourt was Shannon Brown and Derek Fisher. You know, you had Trevor Reza start half the season at the three. You had Vlade Radmanovic starting at the three. And then you had Powell and Kobe, you know. And
sheesh.
It was crazy when you're looking at what those teams were.
Sasha
Vujacic is, like I said, Lamar Odom either started or was a sixth man on one of those teams. Ron Artest, you know, was the starting three for one of them. They had no depth. They were not good teams. I mean, like, you would never say, oh, yeah, that Lakers team could compete against – like, if you were doing the top 50 NBA champions in the history of the league, I don't know where they're clocking in. They're probably coming in somewhere between 40 and 50. As good as Kobe and Pau Gasol were as a duo, there was no depth and really very little supporting cast there.
It's also weird. Spaghetti, feel free to jump in from behind the glass. I know you had some pipe dream that LeBron was going to wear your Knicks royal blue and orange, right?
Years ago.
Didn't have any hope of it this time around?
No.
What have the Knicks done to jazz up their team?
They got Mario Hezonja, a one-year deal.
The Croatian Kobe Bryant
could be
that's what he was called when he came in the draft.
One-year deal. There's no risk to it if he's good. He's a young player. It could be all right.
I don't even want to. I mean, not that I don't want to. I'm here for you, MVP. But anybody who's been following her on social media this week, this July 4th weekend, it is not a happy one. You know, don't wish her a happy. Like, just like get through this thing and. Hopefully her friend Erica Tamposi, the other half of the broadcast, you know.
Yeah, this sucks.
Now, if you do want to, I mean, if you like to make yourself feel better.
I don't mean to laugh.
Through others' emotional pain.
That's funny, I guess.
No, I think you should really follow on Twitter. You should follow her.
Yeah.
It's the Emma VP. She's putting up video diaries, as is her friend, anymore. At Erica Tamposi, trading videos, updating each other on how their respective time apart this week. They're thick as thieves. Usually, they're the 21st century's Laverne and Shirley. I've said, and
Awesome Pepper Incorporated.
Yeah.
You know what? I like to think that maybe now Emma knows how when Kent Brown felt when he was left out of a party weekend. You know, up near a lake.
Good
you know, where folks
back.
Were
yeah.
were
Former
drinking
producer.
And
yeah,
hanging
you
out.
Get to go.
No comment.
Oh, you know what we didn't pay off? I'm sorry. Now we have to go back. So I set it all up. Chopping wood, riding a boat on a lake, shooting, playing golf with an island green. I had no idea where you were and where were you?
I was in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Idaho.
Yes, northern Idaho. 2 hours from the Canadian. 2 hours from Calgary. 2 hours from Montana. Hour out of Spokane, Eastern Washington.
How hard is it legitimately? I know literally this isn't true, but in my mind, I would think that speaking of golf, I could, or someone who can drive the ball further than I can, could hit a ball from one side, the skinny northern part of Idaho, could hit it if you stood at the easternmost standpoint and hit it over the westernmost standpoint. That seems like a really skinny little thing. Why'd they do it that way?
A little bit wider.
Why'd they do it? Why didn't they just the two states on either side, which would be Montana and North Dakota?
No, Montana, Washington. Montana, Washington.
Oh, wait, Idaho's – wait.
Yeah, sandwiched right there. So you land in Spokane.
Why not just close it out? Just smush them out. Speaking of former Lakers, smush Parker.
Right.
Just smush out that skinny part of Idaho. Why do they need to connect
Montana and Washington together? It's a great question.
People live up there.
No answers. They do, yeah. Very, very popular, I believe, vacation destination in the summers. You know, the fine Coeur d'Alene, Lake Coeur d'Alene up there, Sandpoint, Idaho. I learned a lot about northern Idaho, and it's a very proud community.
I would think it would. That's exactly how I would expect Matt Money Smith legitimately to spend a portion of his vacation learning up on the history of the place where he's going. Did you? I imagine that in about somewhere between 2 seconds to 7 weeks from now, there will be volunteered anecdotes about Coeur d'Alene. Did you know that in 1892 there were some?
What's funny you mentioned 1892. It was the late 1800s that the Great Western Expansion made its way through Sandpoint, Idaho. Very famous train depot right there. One of the oldest towns, as a matter of fact, in the Northwest. So dating back to the mid
1800s. I've been talking to my kids about the 11-year-old Oprah and Jean-Claude Van Damischek, 9 years old. You know, they're starting to become more and more of the world at large and asking questions about things. And I realize, I don't really know some stuff and I can't volunteer.
It's humbling, isn't it?
We were talking about the schooners going across the U.S. around the time you're talking about. And what I keep coming back to, one thing I notice over and over again is, and then we talk about WW2 and just what those guys did at Normandy and beyond, but, you know, obviously overall. And I keep coming back to the same point. I would have been terrible at any point in history. Like, I would have been the first one out of everything. Like, they would have been like, you remember Dave? Yeah, oh, yeah, he died the first day. Yeah, that was him.
It is remarkable to think, like, what our ancestors managed to live through. Like, to, for us to be here, what if you just go back one generation prior to the next, what exactly they lived through, what they had to deal with, be it a plague, expansion, as you said, you know, who knows, one of our great-great-great uncles or great-great-grandfathers. Yeah, you're just going to head west. And we don't know what's there, but we believe it could be dinosaurs. It could be just giant beasts. There could be natives that aren't going to be very friendly. But, yeah, just go figure it out.
Hey, this guy Lou and his pal Clark, they yeah. swear that they know what's out west. I'm gonna go along. I don't have anything better to
take
do.
A shot at this.
Also, that you could shoot balls at a remote controlled island green.
That is right.
I hope you're proud.
That is right. The Coeur d'Alene Golf Resort and the I believe hole 14, the world's only movable floating green.
Fascinating. So how really far? Cool. How many miles up, is that skinny part?
Oh, it's far.
Like, I mean, what?
I don't know.
It's far.
At least, I'd say at least 100 miles. That would be my guess.
Is that so?
Maybe a few. No, that sounds about right, I think, because I'm trying to think if you go, you stay in Spokane's there, because I've done a Washington State game before. So if you were to hop over.
So it goes Washington, then Idaho, then Montana.
I'm going to say, I'm going to say it's probably about 100 miles.
Do you think I'm not going to say it now because although I do think it would make for a captivating podcast experience to see which of us, you know what?
Are they looking?
Let's do it. Ready? Here we go. No, I don't care about that. Well, let's finish up our NBA chat and then we'll do a special.
150 miles? Do we have it?
74 miles long.
That's it. Yeah. 74 miles
the
across
Idaho
and it's narrow
panhandle.
Point. Okay, there we go. So I guess 100 wasn't too far off.
No.
That's interesting, isn't it?
That's a good. That's
what's a
great
big
call.
City? Like how? What's from one side of the biggest city to the other side? What's that? Like what's L.A.?
Well, it'd have to be L.A. Yeah, I mean right. L.A. Because L.A. Like if you go to San Pedro, which is all the way at the water, is still considered L.A. And if you come all the way east, then just straight up the 110. If you're shooting up the 110. North, man, I've got to believe at its widest point, LA's got to be close to 50 miles, would be my guess. I mean, it's a wide-ass
city. I like those
city.
Kind of things. I like when they do those perspective, those scale things. Like, here's Earth compared to the sun, but here's the sun
right.
compared to the biggest star in the galaxy, but here's the biggest galaxy compared all that kind of stuff. I love those things. Let's do that
and
with
we're just,
continental
a pinhead.
US. Hey, let's talk about what's important to mankind's existence, the Western Conference in the NBA. Oh, by the way, I should let you know, coming up here as NFL season draws closer, I hate to be a bummer for you,
but
I'm going to reveal for you the next team on my list of teams that are definitely not going to make the playoffs.
How many have we been through so far?
Two. I'll remind you of who those are in just a second here. But back to the NBA and Emma VP too. So you're doing all right?
Not great.
At the Emma VP.
Not all right.
Follow her and then Erica Tamposo.
Well, the friends seem
it seems
to be
like
a lot of fun.
Emma's having I mean Erica is for her part for what it's worth seems like she's having a fine time.
Yeah, she's living it up.
But you're not doing that. So
no.
You're doing worse apart than she is. She seems fine.
Right.
Okay.
You seem kind of popular in these parts, Emma. You don't have other friends you can lean on?
Definitely not.
No?
No.
Eddie's not inviting you out to third
that
July
way
party or something? Or
When Erica's around, it feels like, wow, these
right. They're having a bang-up time.
Laverne and Shirley and the rest are having a great time together.
Agnes and Lacey out here.
Like yeah, Spaghetti is the combined weight of Lenny and Squiggy at this point. He's really letting himself go this summer.
Bit.
But either like he's Lenny and Squiggy to them, and it's like, oh, they have so much fun together. But
right.
She's the straw that stirs the drink, apparently.
I mean,
you're not wrong.
I hope you're okay with this, but I think it's clear that I mean, Emma's Laverne, right? And Erica's Shirley.
Oh, no, no, no.
You think it's the other way?
It's definitely the other way around.
Really?
Which
Emma's
one's
Shirley.
The lamer one? That's me.
Shirley.
I don't think either of them are lamer. I think
Laverne was.
Laverne's kind of the crazier one. Yeah, she had a little. So you think that's Erica?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And Emma is definitely Shirley Feeney. Remember her relationship with Carmine the Big Ragu?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He always had to go take cold showers and everything like that.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
That's me.
I don't want to. I not
maybe
my
maybe it's the maybe it's the hair. The fact that the that Erica has the jet black hair like Shirley did, and Emma more of like a sandy blonde there. You know, much like Laverne was.
I always said they were an unlikely duo, Erica and Emma, and apparently I'm not happy.
Well, maybe they'll never be reunited, and she'll just have to find somebody new. You're
telling me.
Hang in there, Emma, as I told you yesterday. There's always a
Dave, I don't even know what the point is.
It's plausible that you will find another friend one day. That is completely within the realm of possibility, that one day you'll make another friend.
I don't want another friend.
I guess my invites must mean zero, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, you did invite her? And she's pretending like, okay.
I've been good friends with both, but no one seems to care about spaghetti. So.
Ironically, well, not ironically, coincidentally, you've been eating a lot of spaghetti.
I know.
Yeah.
Out and about.
Carbo-loading. He's carbo-loading.
Running a marathon soon.
That's what it is.
Yeah. So then the Lakers make their move, and I contend that philosophically, I wouldn't be – I'm not saying this as a fan. As a player. I'm not saying this as a fan. I'm saying this if I were one of the great players in the world. I would be more inclined to go to the Clippers and to forge a new history, a proud new history, rather than joining and trying to make another good chapter for an already successful novel.
I think that's where maybe it kind of comes into play what we were talking about earlier, and that's that you don't have to win a championship. You know what I mean, bro? That team has been so bad that I think just – at least making them relevant again. I mean, the fact that the Lakers were irrelevant for 4 years from a competitive standpoint, I think now bringing excitement, true, real, not like, oh, Lonzo Ball could be the next Magic Johnson, BS kind of excitement, but legitimate excitement of, hey, tickets are now five times what they were supposed to be, and good luck getting them to go to the Lake Show again. Bringing that kind of buzz back is enough. And I wonder if he kind of recognizes there is nowhere I can go where I'm going to be able to deal with that. With that, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, monster. And if you go to the Clippers, then that's what they're looking for. They're like, hey, you came here, and we're putting these guys around you. With the Lakers, it's like, yay, Hollywood's back. Isn't this great?
But if they get Leonard, though, I think they
– certainly. Well, then I think he feels like that's the only place where he could make that sort of thing happen. You know?
Now, then on Monday, the news breaks out of nowhere, by the way. Boogie Cousins to Golden State.
Crazy.
What?
It's crazy.
The best center in the NBA, the 1A best center in the league.
I mean, I think that's more
who
of,
can run the floor a little bit, which obviously it's not like you wouldn't want Marc Gasol necessarily on Golden State. That would be disruptive. Boogie doesn't feel like he necessarily.
Well, actually, Marc Gasol be good because he shoots the three, you know. But Boogie has done a much better job of that the last couple seasons. The one problem with Boogie, one, Achilles, so he's not coming back probably till January, February. You know, he'll be like, and now. You've got to insert him into this ball movement, you know, shooter pass offense, and that's not his thing. I mean, he's boggy, you know, boogie get ball, boogie dribble ball, boogie score ball kind of thing, you know. So it'll be interesting, and I think it speaks to, you know, people being a little scared of that, you know, of, okay, Achilles, personality issues, coaching conflicts, teammate conflicts. Do we really want to bring him in? And this is the other weird thing, right, about Golden State. I was thinking about this last night when I saw it. You know, this is a one-year deal because they can't sign him because of where they're at with their salary cap. Not to get too technical about this, but they can only give him like $1 million raise from that $5.3 million if they re-sign him next year. So all he's doing is auditioning for other teams in the hopes that he's going to get that max contract he would have received this offseason had he not tore his Achilles. So now you got a guy who is supposed to be sharing the ball, whose usage rate's going to go way down, who's in a contract year. I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works if you're DeMarcus Cousins and you need that max deal and you need to prove that you're healthy enough and you can still score and you're still a formidable force, yet you're surrounded by Curry, Thompson, Durant, Green,
well, and,
Iguodala,
and of course,
on
yes.
And on.
That's
going to be weird.
He has adapted to 21st century ball a little bit, but still, he is a traditional five. So how do you integrate
that? He's a big-ass dude that can shoot
Kerr's
and rebound.
Right, but Steve Kerr is, it's such a distinct style of play, so it is interesting.
I think they believe in their culture so much that they can over – I think that's what it is. Hey, we know we can overcome this. He'll fit in.
Our pal, Keith Cosgrove, who's muckety-muck, a big wig over there at NFL Films, floated an interesting question on Monday night. And by the way, it seems to me that the number one thing – that has come off of Boogie to Golden State, and as things settle in Los Angeles with LeBron and a weird supporting cast now with Lance Stevens and Stevenson and JaVale McGee and Rajon Rondo. By the way, Rondo now in L.A., a lot of people are pointing out to me, he fancies himself an expert Connect Four player.
He does.
I'm not saying I'm coming out of retirement, but if he wants it, if Rondo wants it, he's going to get it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I'm coming out of retirement.
Put it together, Spaghetti.
If Rondo thinks that he's some sort of steely-eyed assassin where Four is concerned, I'm not coming out of retirement for anything. But, I'm not saying I'm not, though, either. Because that – I don't like the alerts. I've been going, ooh, Rondo's in town. Ooh, he's the best. No. Guess what?
I have a lot of NBA contacts from my past life. I could try to get something happening in Studio 66.
But now Boogie goes to Golden State, and now everybody is upset about the balance of power or the imbalance of power in the NBA. And let me say at the outset to you, Money, and to anyone within the sound of my voice, I like it. I like dynasties. I always like dynasties, and I have no rooting interest in this. It doesn't matter to me who, you know, I like the Pittsburgh Pirates in Major League Baseball, where they have no chance of winning a title almost in any given year. I still like dynasties because, you know, while I find it saccharine what, what's his name, voice of Darth Vader?
James Earl Jones?
James Earl Jones. No matter how James Earl Jones waxes about how you mark America's history along with the arc of baseball and all that, okay, that's a little bit heavy. But dynasties mark your period as a sports fan in American history. You know, when you get into those, who won that year, I don't remember. You want to be able to point to an era. Yes, I was there for Michael Jordan's prime. I remember watching that. I was there to see when the New York Islanders, I hated them, but I remember when they reeled off four straight and where they rank in history.
Yeah, big red machine versus Dodgers.
Right, that's what makes
sense. The Yankees.
What are we in it for as fans?
I'm with you.
To have that conversation.
100%.
I feel for the, you know, if you're a season ticket holder for the Memphis Grizzlies, all right, I feel a little sad for you today. You
be happy you got a team in town, huh? How about
kinda.
That? How about be happy you got a team there?
But the question that our pal Keith Cosgrove poses is it so out of whack to suggest that the starting five of the Golden State Warriors with a healthy Boogie come, let's say, March of 2019, could they beat the five best players you can put together from the rest of the NBA?
No.
You would have LeBron. Yeah, by the way.
Now, do I build –
You could have Leonard. So, right there, if the Lakers have that – by the way, if the Lakers have – if they do get Leonard, and that's a big if. But if you throw Kobe. If you throw LeBron into that mix, you know, Brandon Ingram is – it's now at a point for a kid that's slightly built as he is and two-dimensional as he probably will stay as long as LeBron and company are around. Still, for what he can do – is it – I mean, he's an interesting piece. Kuzma, I don't like seeing Julius Randle go, but aren't they – I mean, is it impossible that that Lakers team with Leonard on it could challenge Golden State?
I think they could. Yeah, I mean, because that'll be likely – I don't know if Leonard's coming this year. I think the Spurs –
probably
like,
not.
You know, let's see if we can get somebody else to bite and hope that he follows the Paul George path. But let's just say, you know, if I'm just building a team of all-stars, you know, you mentioned – Marc Gasol, like having a five out there that can shoot the three. I mean, you just all you do is surround LeBron with shooters, right? That's how he's most effective. So you can put Kyrie back with him at the point if you want. You can put Damian Lillard out there with him. Paul George, who's a 40% three-point shooter. Marc Gasol, who's a 40% three-point shooter. That I don't think there's any chance that Golden State would be able
–
Anthony Davis. Let's put Anthony –
Anthony Davis.
So now you've got Kawhi,
Harden,
Anthony,
gotta
LeBron.
Have Harden on the team.
Harden, but he didn't play enough defense. You know, if you want to say, oh, well, now Harden's got to deal with Steph Curry and he's got the Olay defense going. So you could put, like I said, if you want, Kyrie out there as a creator or Harden, whatever. Yeah, I don't think it's even close, right? I mean, once
– But
it is funny that we even entertain it.
Here's the other thing I will say. I feel like I have to point this out every time. These people who say shame on KD and LeBron for going to play with other, first of all, like shouldn't they have enough honor as all-time greats to want to do it by themselves? Talk to guys who, I mean,
Karl Malone, John Stockton,
they like to,
Pat
if
Ewing.
You're a high-end performer, even within the highest level of your sport, what those guys will recurringly say, NFL guys and otherwise, who I've spoken to, and I'm sure you've gotten the same sentiment, is they want to play with the best.
Right.
It's not like, I want to pull a team up that has no business being around. Sure, that sounds good, but they know that that's kind of not really going to break their way. What they like is the idea of being around the best players in the world.
You know what else is fun? Winning. And winning a lot.
Right,
if you're Kevin Durant, I would imagine life's pretty darn good for Kevin Durant now.
But the other thing is, too, the other aspect of it is that Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, because those are the two they always cite, like, Magic Johnson would never chase a ring like that. He'd never go away to go play with his foes like that. Yeah, he would if he
didn't have to
land on a team with Kareem
and
Michael
Worthy
Cooper
and Cooper.
James Worthy and everybody else. Same goes for Larry Bird with the Chief and McHale and DJ and Ainge and all the rest of the guys. Of course, it happened to the sports gods smiled on them. They didn't have to go off and do those things. So
right. Keep
that in mind. And one more reminder for everybody. I say it all the time, and I'm going to say it to you again now. Kevin Durant is going to go down as the best player on the greatest dynasty in NBA history. Is he that crazy? Is that loco that he did that? Or was he just chasing a ring because he didn't think he could ever
get it? Back-to-back finals MVPs.
Come on.
And he'll win the finals
MVP
every year.
Am I overstating that? You know better than I do.
No.
KD, I don't know. The pushback, the hate for that makes kind of trips me up. Spaghetti, you don't like that, though.
I respect it, but my roommate made a great take, and it was if the Lakers create a super team, that should be America's new super team to root for to bring down the Warriors. Because I think we just get like this fatigue going, and I'm just against them. And
I don't know if it's fatigue or is it the Floyd Mayweather Jr. sort of syndrome, which is you want to see him lose, but you still want to tune in to see him lose.
Sure.
So it's not really fatigue. You still want to watch.
Course.
You just want to root against them is kind of what it is. So without them, maybe you're not as interested, right? Maybe you're not so determined to watch.
Right,
Snow White with no witch is a pretty boring movie after 20 minutes. I mean, you need to have bad people. Not even bad. You need what's his name Avengers with the fist? Thanos. He's a conflicted character. He's not out and out evil. He has his reasons,
I think the Warriors are likable.
You need somebody to root against.
They're likable. Oh, Steve Kerr is super likable. Steph Curry, obviously. I mean, KD has his issues here and there with the Twitter stuff and how he treats the media, but for the most part, they're likable. And I agree with what Money said. If the Rockets did beat them in the Game 7, is like Rockets, Cavs.
Would fun. You have been as interested?
No.
Right.
You're right. You're right about
it wouldn't
that.
Have been.
That being said,
that's the thing about
they
it.
They could be the evil if LeBron does get Kawhi, if they somehow keep one of, you know, Lonzo or Brandon Ingram, then that would be a team I'm going to root for.
Okay, but here's something else I've said repeatedly. The New England Patriots of the 21st century have kind of obscured the overall parity of the NFL. Yes, they're perennial playoff contenders, the Packers in the NFC North, the Steelers, and the Ravens in the AFC North. We all can tick those off. The Seahawks and so on have been in the mix more often than not over the last 20-ish years or so. But the Patriots are the dynasty, and everybody loves to root against them, not for any reason specific to the Patriots, or maybe there are specific things that you can latch on to, but every dynasty, people, there is always going to be a percentage of American sports fans that are rooting against that because they want to see the dynasty fall. Whoever it is, whether it's Muhammad Ali or the Dallas Cowboys, there's a percentage of people that want to see that team get knocked off, the Yankees and otherwise.
The only one I can remember, and granted, I could be so wrong on this because of where I was at the start of it, I never got the sense that people were rooting against Michael Jordan. Like, that's the one dynasty that you just felt like – and same with Tiger Woods. Like, and obviously this has now shifted, but, like, when Tiger was in his prime, people didn't root for him to fall. It wasn't like, man, I hope that David Duval is going to take down that – no, you wanted Tiger to win them all.
What we wanted was for – generally speaking, what we wanted was for Phil Mickelson to rise up and really be a true rival. That's all we wanted.
And he never was able to do it.
That's a
– But I think if Phil even had – I still don't think we would have rooted for Phil. I think we would have been like, hey, this is great now that he's got legit competition, but man, I like this Tiger guy.
Now, see, that's an interesting point that you make there because Larry Holmes doesn't get his credit as one of the great heavyweight champs in boxing because he never had a real rival. And if Golden State is so much better than everybody else that it's unfair, or it feels unfair, maybe it will be unsatisfying.
Because I feel like we root against the Patriots because Tom Brady and his fashion and all that crap can get kind of annoying. The Bill Belichick and the Spygate and were they cheating and all that. I think there are legitimate reasons to cheer against them with the Warriors. You know, I don't like this one-year cap spike. They got lucky. They stepped in it. So you get this one weird year where everybody's got an extra $30 million to spend. Now they land the second-best player of his era, and I don't like it. You know, I think all of those you can make a case for why I don't like them.
I hear you.
That's what it is.
But to me, the thing that I always liked was in the Yankees in the late 90s when they were reeling off those titles.
Right.
I mean, they were very easy to root against. And but to me, though, too, and I talk about the era I grew up in. I see, it's funny you say the Bulls of the 90s are the most likable dynasty because everybody wants to root. Most people are inclined to root against the dynasty. I say the same thing about the Steelers of the 70s. I don't think people dislike them unless you're from Texas. Then you were a Cowboys guy, and then you probably did hate the Steelers. But they were a likable bunch as well. But yes, the larger – I mean, the San Francisco 49ers for a dynasty, what was to hate about them? But it was easy to root against them,
right,
wasn't it?
Well, I think football, you tend to stoke the fan fire a little bit more. For whatever reason, at least that's just been my experience. It does seem like fans are less apt to become casual fans and cheer for a particular side in the Super Bowl because you're just so bent that your team isn't in it because it's only 16 games long. The season just seems so short. When it's over, you're just salty, you know, whereas the NBA season's so long. It's like, God, can we just get to the playoffs already? You find yourself picking a team to cheer for when the playoffs start. I don't know. I never found myself glomming on to a, you know, just an arbitrary NFL team because my favorite team wasn't in the playoffs. I just started, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like in the NBA you tend to do that. You're like, hey, you know what? I was watching these games and I found myself cheering for LeBron in these. It was kind of weird.
I guess the NBA lends itself because of
individuals. You start to cheer for individuals.
Not wearing helmets and right. Everything else that you might lean towards. Towards those individuals. But either way, now it seems to me that LeBron in L.A. notwithstanding, well, maybe the finals, maybe the Celts or maybe the Sixers rise up and can do something to Golden State in the finals. But it seems to me the Warriors are going to win another title and they are going to go down as the greatest dynasty in that sport's history. And people are not going to be happy the whole way through. This entire season, people are going to be bellyaching about that group. All right, here's another question. I heard you say February just a minute ago, and I appreciate it as a man of justice and for trying to make the world a better place. I might even make this. This is going to be under consideration for my New Year's resolution for society in 2019. We've done a lot of good work there. Witness all the rosé all over the world now.
You're ahead of the curve on that one.
Oh, you can hardly avoid it.
It is weird. Of all the things to pick out, you decide to start celebrating rosé, and here we are 6 months later, and everybody's drinking rosé.
That's the thing. That's what you don't realize. That's like George Clooney paying his dues. George Clooney, you know, came out of nowhere, you know, overnight success. No, Clooney paid his dues.
Facts
many
of life.
Moons, right. Damashek started paying his rosé dues many years ago, and just now it's starting to bear fruit.
That's not as impressive.
Listen,
it would have been a lot more impressive if it was really that close. Like, hey, I've been drinking rosé all my life. Where have you people been? That's not as impressive as, you know,
not all my life.
This rosé thing like 2 years ago.
5 years. It took a little while to get the word out, but now everybody's on board, friend. I'll thank you to take your cynicism elsewhere. Now, what I also want to take away is the R in February.
February.
The first one. Why do we need it? Nobody says it.
Yeah, February.
Who says February?
Well, you don't.
Worse is Wednesday. We just have to change it. Why? What's the joke? What is the man's joke? Ongoing bit
for Wednesday.
Against all of us. No one says it. Where did it come from? Was it supposed to be?
So you want it to be Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Oh, you want to flip the N and the B.
W-E-N. Wens.
Oh, W-E-N-S.
Day. Wednesday. W-E-N-S. Day. Why do we need nobody?
Wednesday.
Why? Oh, it's hard to spell. Oh, I've got to point out to you. Here's a good trick to remember, kids. Why it's Let's just do away with it. Why? Why do we need the? What do we need the bit? What do we need the?
Why do you gotta make kids? But listen, don't we have? Aren't things easy enough? Aren't things easy enough now for people just to hold a stupid computer in their hand to look up for an answer, whatever they want? Can't we have some things be hard? Can't we force kids to say February?
This feels mean-spirited.
No,
it feels unnecessary.
I think it's damn, Sheck. Kids got it so easy today. Let's give them some challenge.
I was also talking.
You want to lose the H in ghost?
Words that are the same but are spelled differently and have completely different meanings. Like the ones we were talking the other day about, I really pointed this out to my 9-year-old. He hadn't really done the math on this. Colonel and Colonel, and the spelling of the military colonel is so absurd. What's the root of that? Why does it have to be that way? And why is it one is the second highest in command in the military and the other one is corn before it popped? Who decided that that's the range that word should have?
I don't know. I mean, you have to dig back. I mean, you want to get into an etymological?
I don't know. And why is that word so difficult?
Exactly. Because we're a damn sports podcast, and here we are discussing silent D's and R's and spelling colonel, C-O-L, to start out a freaking colonel in the military, C-O-L-O-N-E-L. Isn't that it? Colonel, I believe, is how you spell colonel.
Colonel.
Yeah.
It's a joke. It's a joke on all of us, and we go along with it. We're suckers.
Maybe embrace one of the romance languages, huh? Dave, they're a little more friendly. A couple tricky pronunciations in there. All right, then don't. Stick with your English here.
There were some other ones I wanted to. This is one. The talk about the absurd, like the laugh that Merriam and Webster were having when they were writing the dictionary together.
Oh, Merriam and Webster at the bar again. Here they are.
These two guys, they were friends with Lou and Clark, I bet you.
Sure.
These two are sitting around laughing their heads off at leery, wary, and weary.
You're a little leery. You're a little weary.
And wary are synonymous. Leery and weary have nothing to do with
each
other.
That's a good call.
What in hell? Here's another one for you.
Okay. Keep them coming.
Don't we love – here's things I love. I love cheese.
You do?
Yeah. Do you like cheese?
It gets me all bound up.
Do you like corn?
I'm okay with corn.
Do you like swine? You like a little ham?
Not so much ham. I know you like the bone in ham, but I do like bacon.
Okay. But you like the brother of ham.
Yeah.
I like
bacon. Yeah, ham's a little too much for me, a little too salty.
Who decided that these three delicious foods would be used to denigrate someone's cool level or lack thereof? You're corny. You're hammy.
You're a pig.
You're hammy. What's up? What are we putting down? You're cheesy. You're being cheap. Those are all delicious things. Oh, shouldn't at least.
Now
and by the way, why did we have to
slang?
Why did we have to take three words about good tasting foods and use them all to define someone as nerdy or square or something? Shouldn't at minimum?
That's hammy.
Shouldn't
that's
they
question.
At minimum
yep.
be used as positive adjectives? Oh, hammy spaghetti. You know what I love? You know who's coming over today? Do you know how corny Emma is? Yeah, I can't wait for her to get here. That's going to be fun.
You did it with Rosé, Sheck. Maybe this can be your cause celeb here in 2018.
All right, you ready now?
I am.
You ready to now talk about the latest team? Everybody is trying to pump you up and make you feel good, and that's fine. But as Money and I just talked about where the NBA is concerned, there's only one team that's going to win the title, and there are only a handful of teams that are going to make it even to the postseason in the NFL. I know you're feeling good right now, but consider this my favor to you for the long term. This isn't a short-term satisfaction, but you're going to know that around Halloween, maybe Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas, while some of your friends have been making plans, I better keep the schedule clear in January because the playoffs are coming. Not if you're a handful of teams. Like every team, you can make a case, you can feel good about where they're headed.
Are you doing these in any particular order?
No.
Okay.
Just sussing them out.
One team could be 7-9, the other one 1-15.
MVP.
Not happening.
Share with Money and the people, who have we identified as teams definitely not making it to the postseason so far?
The Colts and the Giants.
Colts and the Giants.
That's a big swing straight out the gate.
I know. Well, Spaghetti over there is sad about the Giants, but again, Now he's not going to have to, I don't know if I should make plans in the third Sunday of November because, now you can.
You're doing me a service, so thank you.
That's what I'm trying to help you. I don't want you getting your hopes up and then having them get crushed.
Thank
you. You know, who's the real friend? The one who lets you walk around with broccoli in your teeth or the one who points it out to you so you don't embarrass yourself going forward?
No, you're my friend. More
do
so
you understand?
Than Eli. I do.
I don't want you walking around the streets. On some level, your opinions reflect Dave. You know, they reflect poorly. The New York Giants. No. See, Spaghetti isn't doing that anymore. Because I'm here to tell you.
They got a last place schedule, those Giants, too.
Look at that. I'm not going over that one again. But go ahead. Look at the first seven games, Cynic, and tell me how they're anything more than 2-5.
Yep, they're done.
The first seven games
done.
Are a misery.
I didn't know. They get the South, the AFC South, and they get the NFC, it looks like, South. That's bad.
All right, are you ready?
Yep.
The next team that is definitely not making it to the 2018 NFL postseason. From the NFC West, it's the Seattle Seahawks. Whoa! My jaw's on the floor. How about yours, Matt Money?
Well, I guess you have crowned the Rams as the new kings of the NFC West.
Not necessarily, but...
Who else takes that title?
The Niners. We talked about them last week.
Yeah.
Was that with you, Spaghetti, or was that with James Jones and Reggie Wayne? By the way, Reggie Wayne and James Jones, a gangbusters conversation from about a week ago. I encourage you, nay demand, really, go and dig that episode up. Grand stuff with those guys weighing in on, speaking of back to Kobe for a second, James Jones, who obviously caught passes from Aaron Rodgers, and Reggie Wayne, who caught passes from Peyton, and then Andrew Luck, debating who has the so-called Mamba mentality about these high-end quarterbacks and which guy doesn't, and them saying, no, Aaron Rodgers definitely has it. No, Peyton didn't have it. Back and forth
was
really good. And then ranking quarterbacks and the receivers of the last 25 years, so on and so forth, was fascinating stuff. But, yes, we were talking about the Niners and evaluating them a little bit, and they have at least the pieces. The defense hasn't actually – risen yet to represent how good the individual pieces are, but I do think
they've drafted a lot of players, a lot of first round investment on that defensive side of the football, specifically the defensive line with those giant freaking defensive ends, Armstead and Buckner and all those guys. For certain.
I don't know who catches passes from Garoppolo. People seem to be
Marquise Goodwin
ignoring that a little bit.
Yeah, there's a bit of, but you know, the offensive line is still at least stable. I mean, Staley's still there. Clearly I don't think that roster is as good as the Rams roster.
No.
For certain. And Arizona will be an interesting one. That's kind of the, you know, because defensively they're pretty good. They've got, you know, top level corner, top level defensive end in Jones. So you got someone that can get after it, a corner that can make play. Anyway,
don't bother. Let's skip past the Bradford.
They get the NFC North and the AFC West.
Let's skip the whole nonsense with Sam Bradford and get right to the good
stuff.
Get
right to Rosen.
Let's just do it. Come on.
Would not surprise me. You heard what Patrick Peterson was saying about how impressive he was. So would not surprise me.
I appreciate Pat Pete supporting what Dave Damashek has already said. That's your best quarterback in the 2018 NFL QB draft class, unless it's Lamar Jackson.
And you think that, well, that's just your digit speaking.
No,
that's just wishful thinking.
Because
all the positives you're hearing from the Ravens, you're also hearing like he's still struggling to throw that mid range between the numbers kind of throw. Still outside the numbers there, the hard outs. You're missing a lot of those.
No,
still,
and
so.
You say that's my digit speaking. No, I'm incented as a Steelers fan for Lamar Jackson not to work out in Baltimore. I still think he will.
Well, but you just like to see him get the start and then it flame out after 3 or 4 weeks.
That's right.
That's the Steelers
fan.
Right.
There you go.
All right, that's what you're looking for.
You figured me out like a mobile
Seahawks are out.
Floating green in the
darn right.
Up in
a two club wind.
Idaho.
Two club wind.
175. You take a 5-iron, huh?
Five is my 185, 195 club. So Caddy said
really?
Probably two club wind.
So you're
there.
Pretty long off the tee?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. It's my short game that struggles.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm good around the greens. I never really. I used to hit a beautiful high draw, really high.
Very hard
in
to
the
get
sky.
That.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
People would covet it. You know, grown-ups would watch young Dave Damashek strike a
They'd
golf
come out
ball.
To see it, huh?
Well, maybe they didn't. Maybe that was over. Passersby would say, well, look at that's a nice high draw you hit on that, you know?
It is an impressive ball flight. If you can get the high five-yard draw, that is something to behold.
I don't know what happened, Money. It's gone.
Practice.
Doesn't happen.
It's a game of reps.
I'm not
it's
a good
It's a game of
athlete.
Reps, man. It is a ask Mark Brady.
Look at Mark Brady,
ask
the
Mark
boss.
Brady.
He can't resist.
Oh, he's going to call
he's
you out.
He's got to get on the mic because it's golf.
What's he saying? What's he,
oh,
is he calling
Mark
you out?
Brady, when I was a in college, I interned at the local in Pittsburgh at KDKA, world famous KDKA, 50,000-watt radio station, and then a local affiliate of CBS. I worked there, and it was the Pirates TV station and radio broadcast. And one day there was a Pirates game. The Pirates were good at the time still. And they said that all of a sudden, what, Jack Nicklaus is coming to town? He's flying in at the last second because he, of course, designs golf courses in Western PA and beyond. And they said, oh, he's flying in to take a look to walk the grounds. And he's flying in right now from, I guess, Columbus. Is that where he lives? Columbus, Ohio?
I believe
think?
So.
So it was a last second thing. Well, the Pirates are playing and all the sports hosts are all at the stadium right now.
Here we go.
What are we going to do? And I said, I'll go over there if you'll let me. And they said, all right, the schnook can go, I guess. We better have somebody there than nobody. Next thing I know, I'm out at this course that is, you know, probably one quarter done at that point, and walking the ground, and there's the Golden Bear, and I'm a 21-year-old guy, you know, or maybe I'm more – what was I? No, I was more like 19, I guess. Anyhow, there's Nicklaus, and the thing that was more striking than anything to me that made me more intimidated, it was a surreal experience driving to the golf course. Like, I'm going to ask Jack Nicklaus a question. What do I ask him? What do I ask him? And the thing that
– you turned into Bane. What am I going to ask?
Now is not the time for fear, Dave. I get there, and it was the local – the other stations, of course, did not have Pirates baseball to worry about covering that night. So they're top guys.
Oh, the big wigs.
And that's what made me super nervous.
What are you wearing?
I was dressed
like in a logo polo from the station or anything?
Something like
okay,
that.
So you're
probably
fine.
Something like
okay.
That. But the intimidation level, because there was WPXI, the NBC affiliate, there was Albie Oxenrider. There was Albie Oxenrider.
Albie Oxenrider.
As I live and breathe. Oh, and there's – I'm trying to think if it was Bill Hillgrove or who it was from WTAE in Pittsburgh. But anyway –
their plastic smile, their
these guys are
hair.
All there, and these guys were pros, and I'd watched them for 20 years. You know, I would be swooning, except now they were my competitors, and I shook with fear as Nicklaus approached and the cameras surrounded and everything else. And just earlier that day or the day before, the Ryder Cup team was being put together. And somebody asked Payne Stewart, who was one of the most prominent American players at the time, what they thought of putting Jack Nicklaus on the team because he might have to play 36 holes on a given day, and maybe he was a little too long in the tooth to make it that far. Somebody asked Payne Stewart that, and he said, yeah, I don't know. It's a good idea to put, you know, Jack
oh boy,
out there. That's
controversial topic, huh?
And on the way, I thought, you know what, I better write this down. So this is before the days where it was easy to just hit, set,
right.
You know, whatever on the computer.
So you're running down.
I transcribed the entire quote of Payne Stewart and from the newspaper onto a piece of paper so I could take it and ask Nicklaus about that. And for the first 10 minutes, I wish I had the audio of this thing. And there was also a video at some point. For 10 minutes, I didn't make a peep because I was, these guys know what they're doing. I don't want Albie Oxenrider to
now,
see.
Do you have a cameraman there?
I had a shooter with
you. You got a shooter with you? All right.
I had a shooter.
Oh, yeah. Here we
go.
And
finally, I summon the moxie, the temerity to stick the microphone to the Golden Bear and ask him. They're all asking, what's up, Western PA? What do you like about golf here versus other places, whatever?
You stick the microphone in his face and you say, hey, why don't you put an A between Nick and Lus? It's weird. It's Nicklaus. Everybody says Nicholas, so why don't you just put that? Why is it Nicklaus? No, I mean everybody pronounces it Nicholas, so why don't you make it Nicholas?
I think it's terrific how the laughs you're getting behind the glass. I'm really happy for you. Look at Spaghetti, so happy. Never been so happy. That's the first smile I've seen on MVP's
face. I was so miserable
face.
Until then, like, thank you.
Well, good. I'm glad for everybody.
Of hope.
I'm glad for everybody.
Did I ruin the moment?
No. I ask Nicholas about – I ask him about Payne Stewart, and he says the best possible response is, of course, is I didn't hear. What did Payne Stewart say about me? Oh, well, let me read it to you. I read it to Jack Nicklaus what he said. And Nicholas says, is that right? That's what Payne thinks, does he? Well, let Payne know that when he, you know, something to.
Oh, the, yeah.
Jack Nicklaus. I mean, you know, competitive, yes, but, you know, old school.
Oh, affable,
gentleman,
polite gentleman, yeah.
Did not like Payne
That's
Stewart
great.
Talking stuff. And the next thing I know, that I mean, the next morning, you watch SportsCenter, there's Dave Damashek's hand holding the Channel 2 KDKA mic flag. And Jack Nicklaus answering my question on SportsCenter. And
did they play the audio of you asking the question and reading the statement?
Of course not.
Oh.
Of course not. No. They don't do now, that
did
now.
KDKA. Did KDKA play that? Or did they just play his response?
That's a good question, and I don't remember the answer. But I do know that, I mean, listen, we've the DDFP this summer has broken news from Cliff Averill besmirching the Pete Carroll era. Willie McGinnis speculating about Tom Brady, whether he would retire with another Lombardi. These things have made national news, and you watch them or see them elsewhere. They're like, on an NFL program, you know, there's no.
No.
When's it my
turn? Nobody attests.
When's it my turn?
You're just
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're the anonymous source. Sources have told SportsCenter that Cliff Averill said Pete Carroll was losing it by the time he was finished there.
And why a Y in the word anonymous? Can it no, just
yeah,
there
we
to,
go again.
See, no laughs on that. Oh, no, they shake heads. That one's not good enough. No, spaghetti and MVP, that doesn't meet their minimum standard of high comedy.
The why actually
Oh,
works.
Their hero, Matt Moore. Matt Moore's dead. Oh, I smoke cigarettes, and my two legs are the same diameter as a cigarette. Oh, worship me. It's ridiculous. Where's your honor? No wonder you would like Idaho with that skinny thing. It's like
that's
your
right.
legs. That's what
that's
it's
right,
like.
Man. Just like
that's what
legs.
Idaho looks like. It's Matt Money Smith turned on his head.
Down. My big fat belly.
That got a little chuckle behind the glass.
Yeah, they're into that. They're just trying to placate
All
you
right,
here.
The Seattle Seahawks are not going to make the playoffs, and the reasons seem to be clear to me. Yes, Doug Baldwin is perennially now slept upon, maybe the most underrated wide receiver in the game, certainly belongs in everybody's top 10 for what that measure is worth. Russell Wilson, another guy who at least has a lot of mixed gets a lot of mixed reaction from people who should know better. It seems to me that Russell Wilson is one of the very best guys doing it.
You mean as a as in terms of his performance or in
yeah.
terms of his personality?
No, I'm not talking okay. about his personality. I'm talking about him as a football player.
No, I think everybody's – I think most
no,
people are
No,
good
no,
with,
no. There
you
are a
so,
lot
huh?
of people who will tell you Russell Wilson was a passenger on the way to that first Super Bowl title. They denigrate him. Yeah, he's fine. I don't know exactly what motivates that opinion, but to me, he is – It, yeah, not that this is everything, but he's as dangerous a scrambler, a guy who can make plays with his legs and extend plays and give the defense headache with that ability and running away from them, Fran Tarkenton style, right? Spaghetti, you're not as impressed with Russell Wilson.
No, it's not true at all.
Is that true?
I think he's should MVP candidate.
Yeah, I felt like he was an for MVP sure. candidate for most of the year last
Top
year.
Top 3-5.
That he was, you know, if the Seahawks make the postseason, he's got a legit shot at that MVP. It just seems like he's gotten kind of weird. Like, I don't know if you saw that one interview he did about his alter ego, and I can't remember what word he kept using, if you guys remember what it was.
Well, he also said like Jesus has spoken to him.
And well, there's that
the concussion water.
The concussion water, and there is.
Ciara,
oh, I wish he had like a.
Oh, Unlimited. That's it. Did you see that interview? It was crazy. You got to pull that and play it on another DDFP.
Unlimited. It is his alter ego or something.
You know, my answer to everything is now unlimited. So somebody asked me like, what's the potential of this team? Unlimited. It's crazy. He's like losing his mind up there right now.
I think
now.
It'd be fun if he had like if he called himself like Blaze, you know. Well, when Blaze gets out on the field, Blaze is dangerous. Blaze, another defense team better be afraid.
Unlimited.
Really?
It's weird. Yeah, you got to pull it.
Here's the thing I will say though in response to that. You can be weird because I always look to, I know it was a different era, but Terry Bradshaw was making country music records and making.
Yes.
And making. Hooper.
I have it on cassette.
Do you really?
I have the Terry Bradshaw country album on cassette. As a matter
I have
of fact.
I have one of his albums in record form. I have an album.
Hey now.
I have an
actual vinyl.
Album of his. But yes, I think that, but listen, I know, again, it was a different era, but he was, you know, he was a pretty prominent pseudo celebrity with his country music and shooting movies like Hooper and so on. So, and, you know, that didn't seem to deter the Steelers from rallying behind him.
Sure.
The problem is, who's rallying behind Russell Wilson at this point? That defense is shot, right?
A little bit. I mean, especially
sad
news with Cam Chancellor. That's a bummer.
It is a legitimate bummer about the premature end of Cam Chancellor's career, but Michael Bennett is gone. Cliff Averill's gone.
Richard Sherman.
I mean, you still got Bobby Wagner there.
I'm guessing they're trading Earl Thomas before this whole thing gets rolling.
I mean, Earl Thomas apparently wants out.
Yeah.
And in a division that now features the Rams, which is a superior defense, the pieces to me, straight up, piece for piece, the Niners seem like they now have a better defense, especially if you're right about Earl Thomas.
Right. No, I'm with you. I'm not going to argue that they're out.
And I don't love those. I don't love those guys who are delivering. Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, obviously more of this kind of a guy, like in the box kind of safety. But Earl Thomas is a guy who throws himself around pretty good there, and he's been in the league for more than a minute now. And when those guys are beating up other guys, they tend to get beaten up as the career.
Yeah, I think you know it's what we celebrated Cam Chancellor for, right? That he was so versatile and able. I mean, gosh. The iconic play in the Super Bowl is the one that everybody's passing around right now. You know, that hit on Demaryius Thomas. And it's not like it was, you know, a missile-type hit where he lowered himself and launched. No, it was just that was Cam Chancellor. You come over the middle, and it's good pad level. It's a solid legal tackle. But you do that a lot. And after 7-8 years.
And I the one thing I really, really don't like is any time that there is a relevant player within the division going to a foe in the division. That's the
right.
worst. Now you're going to see Dick Sherman a couple times a year for all the reasons, not just for what he does on the field, but what he certainly can say. And we talked to a lot of different NFL players about that. Like, what's it matter that James Harrison left Pittsburgh? What can he tell Bill Belichick really about what the Steelers are doing? Some guys will say, oh, nothing. Other guys will say, oh, he can tell him. He can give him everything. He can give him the blueprint. Can't Dick Sherman basically tell, here's what Pete Carroll wants out of a defense, here's how
I would think so, right?
That. Certainly.
I mean, you would see that
for
all the time.
A smart guy like Dick Sherman, he can't go up and tell Kyle Shanahan and company, like, here's exactly what Pete Carroll loves doing in this situation. Surely he knows that.
There, you see that a lot with backups, your practice squad, like the kind of that fourth string quarterback. A lot of times you will see teams, and I did not know this until it was brought up to me last year, you'll see teams that are playing an opponent in the first week. If that fourth quarterback gets cut, you will see them bring that quarterback into camp from the team that cut them if that's their first or second week opponent, just to pick their brain for some things and try to figure some things out.
I think that's fun.
Yeah.
I think we should see more of that sort of espionage in our sports. All right. How long have we been going now, Emma VP?
About 65 minutes.
65 minutes? What happened? I thought we were on about 40.
I checked out like 15 minutes ago.
Mm.
Sure you did.
She didn't check out when I made the Jack Nicklaus joke,
besides
though.
Besides that,
that's right,
yeah.
Emma.
All right. Let's wrap it up then. Money, while you're here, do you want to read one Eddie Spaghetti
yes.
tweet?
There you go.
It's his passion. I'm sure you didn't take a break on your vacation from reading Eddie Spaghetti tweets. The most New York
this
sports fan we
have. This is the best one. Oh, I was on vacation, so I didn't see any of these.
Oh, good.
Oh, here it is. Ready? My Uber driver turned off Everlong for some pop crap, even after I was noticeably bobbing my head to it. I award you no stars. That's the best one.
He also tweeted out a picture of his tuchus.
He did?
Yeah.
His bear tuchus?
No.
Actually, both those tweets involve – I was going to plans with Emma, who no longer cares about friendship with me. But, yes, the Uber driver had a great song on, turned it off for a very strange, like, foreign song. And then the behind picture was my girlfriend caught me at a strange angle on these very very much too tight orange shorts.
They were very tight.
If only there were stores where you could buy – pants that fit better.
My mother sent me them for my birthday
you put on some
in May.
Weight.
So I did the typical guy thing of you rip the tags off and then you put them on. You're like, right. Oh, no. And then so the problem, the waist fit, surprisingly, but the thighs, no help. Yeah. But my girl was like, oh, they look good. And by then it was just.
We might need to start a conditioning program for the season for the DDFP staff.
Yeah.
All right. Great stuff, Matt Money Smith, as always.
Always
great
enjoy
stuff.
It.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I do.
But I'm glad.
Maybe you
know
don't.
What? Emma VP is a trooper. You know, she's going through a tough time emotionally right now. But she showed up to do the show. Spaghetti and his tuchus made it as well. So thanks to everybody.
It's tough being Quadzilla.
He loves Saquon. He has never had a care yet. Yeah. He's in love with him already. All right. Play the out music there, Emma VP. Oh, program note. We're not going to do another show this week, right?
Right.
We're going to celebrate the red, white, and blue and eat a bunch of wieners and French
mustard
fries.
And onions.
Some ketchup. You know what? That's my message to you. Go put ketchup on your wiener. It's a free country still.
Don't do it.
Don't listen to Chairman Mao.
Be an American.
Talk to you next week.